Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
It is another beautiful Wednesday evening here in radio/internet land. I am Mark out in California, Beth in Texas. Beth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Mark, thanks for asking.
You're welcome. For people just joining the show, if they want to reach out to us, they can send us an email at goingjimfree@gmail.com if they're listening. Scour the site, AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Also, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at ALR Radio. All kinds of good things as we continue to grow with iTunes and our shows being downloaded. So we're doing some exciting things here, Beth, which is, I like it. I think everything's going pretty well. So happy how the first few months have gone. Interesting thing. Can I start off with saying like a thank you? Are you cool with that, Beth?
I am absolutely okay with that. Go ahead.
Okay. So I want to say thank you right now to Coach Buck from last week. So
yeah.
if people didn't listen last week, shame on them. But if they want to hear the show, they can download it. So we surprised our guest contributor Todd with one of his old football coaches who talked about sports and wellness, but it was more of a kind of a phone reunion in the making, and Todd had no idea it was coming. And so that's one of the things that I'd like to do more of on this show, is surprise people and reach out and touch people like that, because I know it made Todd's day and his wife's day and Coach Buck, who was just fantastic. I think it made his day too. So, did you like that? You kind of took a back seat a little bit to that one, because it was kind of more of a boys club, but
yeah, I actually was listening in when you were interviewing him and recording that interview. So let me tell you, I was listening in and I jumped, and I'm not kidding, I jumped up and down when I heard Todd say, "And this sounds like a lot like Coach Beck." Oh my gosh, I was so excited, like it was me.
Because you work closely with Todd, you were really integral in getting that set up. So good work by you. And, you know, I love doing those kinds of reunion success type things. So I want to get more things like that going on the show, because it's important.
But, you know, if you ever want to surprise me, you know who you can get on the show for me?
Is this the whole celebrity crush thing again? Is this the Joaquin Phoenix thing again?
Okay. Yes, I have a thing for Joaquin Phoenix. I do.
Yeah.
So,
luckily I have his cell phone in my phone. We text a lot. Yeah.
All this time you never told me.
I'm going to tell him that you need to come on the show and surprise Beth, and he'll probably be like, "Oh yeah, no problem. I'm just shooting a movie in Europe, so yeah, just let me know. You want me to come on and surprise Beth?" That's funny. But I'll work on it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I won't hold my breath, but you know what? We'll see.
Yeah. Good show today. We're wrapping up Women's Health Month as we roll into the Memorial Day holiday, the official start of summer. So that's good stuff. Obviously, there's going to be some questions in the second half hour that you are going to be forced to answer, since you're a woman. You can answer some of these better than I can. And we also want to touch on, May is also Mental Health Awareness Month, and
yes,
we know with what we do with wellness, that can help with battling such things as depression, right? So, yeah, go ahead. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about mental health awareness for a second?
Well, I guess just kind of, you know, taking the theme of our show, which is wellness, you know, the Wellness Cafe, we talk about that. And, you know, there's so many people out there that have anxiety or depression. And, you know, I know there's so much time debating whether depression leads to a poor diet or a poor diet leads to depression, but I think the link between the two has become so evident. And, you know, bottom line, a poor diet can make depression worse, can make anxiety worse. And whether it's a question, it's the primary cause of the, is a moot point. I think that, you know, diet, let food be your medicine, that's a motto in my life. And, you know, processed and refined food, fast foods, sugary foods, large amounts of simple carbohydrates, caffeine, alcohol can all lead to depression. And I will back that statement up 100%. So,
yeah, and I don't think a lot of people would connect those dots. You know, I know you do a lot of work in this area, and I do a little bit, but people don't realize that everything is connected, right? When you talk about diet and mental health and taking a walk to battle depression, some people don't understand that everything is kind of linked together.
And yeah,
so we have to be, you know, mindful of that.
You know, and I think one of the things that I loved at the YMCA, when I worked at the YMCA, was the spirit, mind, body connection and how they had that in their motto. And, I mean, I'll never forget that. And that's always there in the back of my mind. So, you know, let me ask you, Mark, when you think of spirit, mind, body, and how you would, you know, stay healthy in all three aspects, what would you say? Let's take mind. What's the first thing you think you have a good overall mind, healthy mindset?
Yeah, I know that if I'm kind of feeling down or whatever, for me, it's exercise. So for me, it starts with, I kind of go the other way where it starts with healthy body, then that leads to the healthy mind. So I find that just getting out, fresh air, walking, can really clear the mind. You know, diet too. I think diet's huge. And, but for me to stay healthy mentally, I know that I wouldn't be able to do it unless I was out and about at least for half an hour every day being out, and socializing. I think, you know, talking to people and exercise, I think is kind of where it starts for me. And, you know, for other people, it might be something different, but it's amazing to me how much good thinking and how good I feel when I come back from a walk, even if I've had a horrible day. So that's where it starts for me. What about you? You're kind of like that too, though. You're a cyclist and a runner and a health nut, kind of.
I have my moments, but I live pretty healthy. But you know, for me, in order to physically build my health, I mean, I have to eat whole, clean foods. I need to exercise, like you say. I need to, you know, just stay away from toxins. And you're absolutely right. I mean, in order to have a healthy body, I need to have good mental state, and that way I'll have a proper outlook on life and have a purpose. And if I'm just kind of physically feeling bad, that whole mental aspect can go out the window. So, yeah, they are very much are connected. And you said something that was so profound. You said, you know, being closely connected with relationships. I mean, I think that's such a big aspect that people can isolate themselves when they're kind of feeling down and say, let me get through this by myself. And so you need to be developing friendships and relationships with, you know, family, friends, and you know, even if it's your, you know, if you believe in God, I mean, whatever your creator, I think you have a healthy spirit. I think those are definitely all aspects of that. So,
and I think also you can learn a lot from a dog, a dog's life. Think about when you think about people happy and living long and longevity, think of a dog. They walk a lot. They drink a lot of water. They sleep a lot. They have a lot of stress-free time. So they hit, when you look at a dog, they have four or five key points. If you're ever into reading about longevity and all that, a dog's life hits a lot of those points. And it sounds funny, But it really is true. I've had a couple of dogs that lived to be, if it did it in human years, lived to be over 100, and we followed those kind of 5-6, tenets of life. And so learn a lot from your four-legged friend, I guess is my point there. But
and
but
we all know
though,
that Murray
true.
Is happy. Murray's a happy dog, so you must be doing something right as a pet parent.
I've never met something more stress-free than him. or that sleeps more. He probably should drink more water, but the walking, the sleeping, and the low stress. Yeah, he's got that down. He's golden there. Yeah. Hey, I was going to ask you. Tell me about and we're going to bring on Laura here in a little bit. Tell me about our guest today. You've known her for a while?
I've only talked to her on the phone a few times, and I've looked over her website, very impressive website. It's a recreation initiative that she does in Lafayette, Louisiana, and she just has this mindset, this whole replacing bad habits with good habits, getting kids active, and she does a lot of recreational sports and activities with kids and families.
Well, good. Well, let's do that now. Let's go ahead and bring on Laura right now. And Laura Palmer, CEO and founder of LA Soar, joining us on the show this week. Laura, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm doing great.
Hey, tell us, first question, tell us a little bit about LA Soar. I mean, you're the person with this big personality. Kind of tell us what you're doing with that.
Sure. So LA Soar is a local 501c3 nonprofit. We were incorporated in Louisiana in the town of Lafayette, and we were built basically by the ground up from parents, business leaders, and teachers like myself in the community who really saw a need and cared about our cause.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what kind of activities
too.
Do you do? What kind of activities do you do at LA Soar?
Sure. So our basic mission is to reconnect youth to the natural world and promote the power of play. We're a family organization, so all of our activities include the entire family. We provide opportunities for Acadiana residents and surrounding areas to just get outside and get active. So say you're a family looking for something to do on the weekends, we provide year-round activities every single weekend for families to go outside and get involved in. So for one weekend a month throughout the year, we'll go paddling. We'll go to a local state park or a pond or a river nearby, and we'll teach kids how to properly paddle a boat, how to load and unload a boat off of a trailer, things to look for when buying a boat if you would like to continue with this hobby. Another weekend, we'll go hiking to a local state park. Like I said, our historic site. There's so many great places to go in Louisiana. They're beautiful, safe, and well-maintained by volunteers in the community. There's a lot of educational facilities. So we'll take a group of kids with their families. We require parents to actually be involved with all of our activities for kids 12 and under. So it's very much a family event. And one weekend a year, we'll go out to a different trail system. We go up through Kisatchee Forest. We'll go to Chico State Park and like Fossey Point State Park, the Arboretum. And they can participate in different educational classes, about 30 minutes of that. We teach local plants and wildlife the importance of soil and maintaining a good, healthy environment for all the plants and animals around. And we'll also go on a nature hike. So we'll go on an hour and a half guided hike around that state park where they can actually put their new knowledge into play. We also just started a youth trail running club. And every third Friday, we do a family game night where we set up science scavenger hunts and survival skills, how to find your location using a map and a compass, and just general outdoor play and fun all year round.
Wow, that sounds, I want to come out and do that.
Please do.
Am I too old to be going out and doing that?
Say that again.
I said, am I too old to be coming out and doing all those kinds of fun?
No. Absolutely not. We have all kinds of ways that people can get involved. So if you are a person over the age of 18 without any children, we always need volunteers. So that might be partnering with a child for some kind of adventure. Like if there's a family of five and there's one child that is that odd man out in a two-person canoe, we can't just put that child in a canoe by themselves. So we may need people to step up to kind of be the backseat on that canoe so that child can have that experience in a close distance to their parents, but not in the same boat. So maybe coming on a paddle trip like that, volunteering. When we take groups out to hike, we always need a leader, which we call the adventure guide, which is either myself or other naturalists in the community. My husband and I are almost done with our Master Naturalist program, so we need volunteer hours, much like all the other naturalists around. So we need a Master Naturalist or a scientist in the front, and then we're always looking for a volunteer to bring up the rear to make sure that we don't leave anyone behind. So many volunteer opportunities, and then if you do have children, obviously parents come to all of our events. So we're happy. Oh, our niece or nephew, a grandchild, anybody in your family who you would like to take outside and share these experiences.
Marcus, sounds like she has your month cut out for you, huh?
But it sounds like I'm booked up for the next month. That's
do you have
pretty
kids?
Cool. I don't. I have a dog, but I don't think he could do any of those activities. He's not very bright.
Oh, we let dog. He's not very friendly, you said?
No, he's not very bright.
He's not very bright.
Yes, he is. Hey, Laura, I wanted to say May is National Women's Health Month, so this month we're really celebrating women and everything that we do. As a woman, did you find it difficult in starting your own business?
No, not at all. And whenever I read that question, I was like, man, do women find it difficult? I mean, I didn't find it any more difficult than if I would have been a man. I guess because a lot of things these days are electronic, so you're sending a lot of emails and you're filling out a lot of forms online, and so gender doesn't really matter. It just all that matters is your presentation and your demeanor and your grammar.
Hey, Murray could do that, huh?
Yeah, no, he could do that. Hey, Laura, what do you think are because you have to, you're obviously doing a lot of fun things with families and kids and all that. What do you think maybe your biggest obstacles are in the day-to-day operations of running a business? How hard is it? How challenging is it? Is it fun? Tell us about that.
Sure. I guess the biggest challenges are, that is a really good question. I don't know. This has been a roller coaster ride for me from the beginning. It's like some days you feel like you get everything on your to-do list done, and you feel really, really empowered and like, yeah, I did a lot. And then some days it's just like that to-do list just drags. And either you don't get a response from somebody or you are kind of just at a standstill of where to go next. Because a nonprofit, it's not like we do one thing. It's not like we, you know, mow grass or sell T-shirts. It's like this thing is like an animal. It's a very organic thing. So every day is different. There's so many possibilities and opportunities. You know, we are constantly getting emails from people like saying, hey, can we do an archery class? Or, hey, I'm a retired professor. Can we start a... So it's like the more people hear about us, it's almost like the more organic we get. And so sometimes I just find it difficult just to get my to-do list done or figuring out kind of where to go next. But that's also very exciting, too. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I worked for the YMCA when I was in college and as a director for a few years when I graduated from Purdue, and I saw firsthand how recreational activities can spur on not only a hobby but personal growth, you know, things like goal setting and having hope and building confidence. Do you see kids and families getting on board with their physical and mental wellness through recreational activities?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just have to provide that opportunity, you know, and I have to say the community impact that we've had so far has been outstanding. We are always getting emails from parents thanking us because our programs helped their child build confidence in school. So we may have a child who always sat out for PE. Maybe he was picked last. Maybe he's a little overweight. Maybe he doesn't feel confident in his surroundings with his peers. And then they'll come to one of our programs where there's no picking teams, nobody sits the bench, we don't talk about winning as being a goal, we don't even keep score. They learn the muscles of their bodies, they learn how to interact socially, how to work as a team, how to work for towards a common goal. Maybe that's, hey, let's get five passes in this next soccer game. So we also, in addition to the outdoor benches, we also, like what you said, we offer recreational opportunities, which can be classes, team sport environment, or my favorite is the lifetime skills. So these kids will come and maybe they'll play a game of kickball or ultimate frisbee, and they'll really feel a sense of accomplishment. And so they'll take that skill back to them to school. And in their classes, their coaches or their teachers are mentioning, oh, well, you know, Jeffrey decided to play today and he hasn't played for the past 3 weeks. Or maybe, Elena made a new friend today and she's been really quiet, you know, lately. So something like that, like we're seeing those effects in these kids' everyday lives in the form of just being more outgoing, being more independent, and just taking more control of their surroundings and kind of getting a new footing, kind of going in a different direction with those skills that they've learned in a very non-threatening environment.
Oh, you know, I was going to go kind of off the board here a little bit and kind of ask you something that Beth and I have talked about on the show before. You know, there's so much new technology and kids are playing video games and they're on their cell phone.
Yeah.
And they're drinking soda and all of these things and they're not exercising, all these things that you see. And I think a lot of that stems from the home life, because maybe, you know, Beth and I have talked, you know, when we were kids, it was just like you went outside, you played at least for an hour, and you were busy with sports and all of the things we did as kids. Are you, you know, kind of seeing this firsthand, are you as concerned as maybe I am that you look out and you go, you know, these kids, they really need to exercise more. We're worried about one in three adults being pre-diabetic. How do you kind of gently stroke parents to kind of tell them, look, your child, you guys need to get moving? And how do you kind of do that in a gentle way, yet a motivating way? And maybe you can tell us some of the success stories you've had with that.
Oh, okay. So a lot of stuff going on there. Yes, I am super concerned, and that is why we started this whole thing in the first place. Two, I don't have to gently stroke parents to say, hey, your kid needs to get outside and get active. Parents are, like, coming to us, like, this is something we need. This is important. People understand this. It's not like we're dealing with people who think that it's okay to be overweight and not active. I mean, there's been so much talk about it. Parents are the awareness being raised. And honestly, we just build it, and, man, they come. I mean, people have been looking for this. So we've had plenty of stories. Like, we had one little girl. Basically, so what we do, what I really enjoy, because I used to be a PE teacher, and there's nothing better than watching somebody learn and develop a new skill. Like, that's the best. So kids 3 to 6 was my favorite age group. And we start all of our activities at 3. So to answer your question about kind of what the impact we've seen and sharing some stories, this is one of my favorite. We're basically developing for kids 3 to 6. We're developing background information or schema or something that these kids can draw upon moving forward in their life. And this can really help mold and control decisions and behaviors in their future. So this background information is just their experiences, their everyday experiences, the feeling of grass between their toes or the look of a beetle on a stump. I mean, these are the things that these kids remember, you know. So that's the experiences that we're trying to help them create so that they can make better life decisions and choices down the road. So this 4-year-old girl had never been canoeing. She was a little nervous. Her mom brought her out to our first paddle trip at Lake Martin, which is one of the best places in the United States of America of watching a bird nesting habitat. It's one of the largest bird nesting habitats in the U.S. So it's a beautiful time of year to go. Anyway, they get in the canoe. They're a little wary at first. She's not even big enough to hold an oar. So she just kind of was sitting there. She had just gotten a new set of binoculars for her birthday. So she was ready, man. She had her binoculars up. The minute we got in that boat and she saw that first water bird fly by, you could see it in her eyes. She was like, oh, my God. Like, she had never seen that before. It was like a life-changing experience. So she got up her binoculars. She was not afraid at all. Like, now she was trying to get in the water. Like, she was so excited.
Aww.
And her mom had to hold her back. She was like, no, baby, sit in the boat. We're going to see plenty more. So as we were going, she would, like, pick up water bugs from the water and be like, I love you, water bugs. Like, she was just embracing it and enjoying it. And guess what? When she got home, she remembered all of those experiences, and she decided to recreate it. In her room, she got out a blue blanket. She sat on a pillow, and she picked up a broomstick, and her mom said that she rode her plate pretend boat for hours.
Aw, that is an awesome story.
So I just
think
that's so cool. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're just trying to give these kids an opportunity to get out, face your fears, and experience something new. Do not be afraid of the unknown. Embrace it, learn about it, educate yourself, and feel in a positive way about your environment, so that when you get older, that'll lead to an improved quality of life. And that's what it's going to take, getting them in there young to just experience it and learn about it.
You know, you said something, Laura, there that kind of spawned a question. I have so many good memories as a kid and cheerleading and dance and gymnastics. So I certainly know how a passion can inspire a kid and even a career like it did for me. As a kid, were you involved in recreation, and how did that mold you in your passion and hobby?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I was involved in sports and recreation when it didn't take up my entire schedule. I don't know. I never felt overloaded, and I was always on top of my schoolwork. You know, I made straight A's in school, and it's like nowadays I just feel like it's either team sport or academics. Like, you can't participate in both, and that's kind of what we want to go against. But, yeah, growing up, I grew up in a very small town, Iota, Louisiana, and we had sports year-round, but it was just one sport per season. It wasn't all this, oh, you know, I have this daughter, and she's in dancing and gym and karate. And I feel like sometimes parents get overzealous, and they want to put their kid in, like, 10 different things, but because they love them and because they want them to have the best childhood experience ever, but kids get too burnt out with that, and that's what causes them to quit, you know. So just maybe pick one and change it every 4 months. That's how I grew up. I played every single sport under the sun. I still do. I love to play and learn. And being from Iota, it was very rural, so a lot of cane fields, and I was an only child, so after I got home from school, it was, you know, drop your books off inside, have a peanut butter sandwich, and then run around barefoot outside until, you know, your mom called you in. Like, that's how I grew up. And so that's just normal for me. And it shocks me that kids don't do that.
Laura, what advice, and we're talking with Laura Palmer here on Atlanta Life Radio, really interesting stuff. Laura, what advice would you give to, and Beth and I talk about this again all the time, what advice would you give to parents? Because obviously your program is so robust and growing and cool, and it's got all the bells and whistles, and it's great. What would you tell parents that are kind of starting at square one to motivate them to at least just get outside and take a 20-minute walk? You know, for the parent and family that comes to you and says, hey, Laura, you know, we're just too busy. Both of us work. Our kids are busy in school, and they play video games, and we can't motivate them. What do you say? What kind of advice do you give to those parents and families?
Those parents need to take control. They need to give their kids back. I say take control. They can take control of their schedule. So yes, they're busy, and yes, it feels like you have no time. But honestly, it only takes 2 minutes. The first thing that I would tell parents, if you don't want to leave your house but you still want the experience, just go sit outside as a family for 2 minutes. Like, everybody can do that. So as a parent, take control of that situation, put your foot down and say, okay, kids, no Nintendo tonight. No, I still call it Nintendo. But no games tonight. Let's turn, you know, no Donkey Kong, all right? Turn off the TV, and we're going to go sit outside for 2 minutes. And it may be uncomfortable at first because you're not used to doing it, but there's some great, and you can include technology. So there's some great apps on the phone that you can download to identify backyard bird sounds, or take a walk down the sidewalk and identify local plants or shrubs or even weeds growing out of the sidewalk. Even, or if you're in, you know, a more rural environment, that's everywhere, but in the city it may be hard. But there's, I mean, there's such great applications to ID bugs, sounds, sights, smells, just sitting outside your house for 2 minutes. So that would be a great place to start.
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually motivated. I want to go canoeing now.
Please come. We'll be at Lake Fosse Point in 2 weeks.
I've actually spent a lot of time in Louisiana, so I will have to make sure we hook up. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. People can find this if they want to view a complete schedule or my contact number is on there as well. If they just want to call and talk and share their stories and what they feel about this, they can visit us at lasoar.org on the web or facebook.com/LouisianaSoar.
Interesting. Well, now, where does L.A. Soar, Laura, go from here? It sounds like you're trying to save the world just in Louisiana. one kid at a time. Are you looking to expand, or what's next for you?
Yes. So we want a home base. Right now we're operating. There's a lot of people on our board and in the community who is behind the scenes giving us ideas, volunteering, kind of growing this thing into what it's going to become. But, I mean, in the future, we definitely are going to need a home base. So we'd like to raise money to build an outdoor education environment, either in the form of a building or some kind of structure that's around some trees and water, so we can start to bring kids to us during the week. So there's possibility of after-school programs to put kids in this immersive outdoor learning environment after school, which would be a safe place for kids who maybe don't have safe neighborhoods around them, and also to get kids there to learn water safety training and survival skills like building a fire, filtering water, finding shelter, and just kind of create an even more immersive, somewhat controlled environment for these kids to learn those skills.
Well, that's interesting. Beth, anything else you want to throw in there with Laura, or are we going to let her go?
No, I'm so motivated right now. And she has lots of energy,
yes.
Laura. I love it.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I want to come down there and get a picture of Beth and me in the canoe. I want to get out there.
Oh, please do. I'll send you our schedule.
That would be great.
Perfect.
I hope you stay in touch with us. The time just flew by because you have a lot of energy. So I hope you keep saving the world one child at a time, one family at a time. I think what you're doing is great, and we hope you come on the show more. Laura, thanks so much for joining us. And
you're welcome.
We'll let you get back to work. I hope you had fun. I hope we weren't too hard on you there. And
no, not at all.
Thanks so much. Stay in touch. The website is, if people want to see you, is lasoar.org, right?
That's right.
Okay. LASOAR.org. You were listening to Laura Palmer on Atlanta Life Radio. Laura, thanks so much, and we'll
You're
be
welcome.
Right back.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Executive Producer Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Share us with your friends, like us on Facebook, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
And we are back. Again, if you're looking to reach out to us, send us an email at goingjimfree@gmail.com. Also follow us on Twitter at ALR Radio, like us on Facebook, and kind of cruise around the website, learn more about Atlanta Life Radio at AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Beth, Laura, good stuff, good interview. Keeping kids, their families healthy, doing different things, making them active. I liked her. I think she was good.
Yeah.
She was great.
Great energy. And I know that my dad was a coach, so he really got me involved in activities and recreation when I was little. So I really appreciate that with him. And, what a great – just getting families healthy and moving, and it's a great initiative. I'm impressed.
Do you think – so you deal – you do a lot of consults and wellness. Is it tough to try to motivate one and not and try to get the whole family involved to get everybody, you know, kind of working together? Do you preach that too, that, hey, take walks together? Or how do you go about doing it to – maybe get a flame going under the whole family?
And that is difficult. I actually have a couple right now that I'm working on their eating habits as well as tobacco cessation. They both want to quit. Now, one of them is employee and the other one is a spouse. So The way I approach both of them is completely different because they have different personalities. So what motivates one is not going to motivate the other. So it's tough. It's really tough. But, you know, I've been doing this for years, and I can read between the lines and just listen to people and see what works for them. And so, it's very difficult. And everyone just has different personalities and different needs and different interests. So, absolutely, it's difficult. But I enjoy the challenge.
Yeah. And now, as a kid – this is kind of interesting. As a kid, you were an athlete, and you came from a family that was active. And then I'll talk about what I did, but what did you do what was your motivation to get out? You did gymnastics and other sports, and you've always been active. How did you stay motivated, or was this just all on your own to do all this?
My parents were pretty strict with me. So like as a kid, at first it was just fun. Well, it was always fun. I shouldn't say that. At first it was just like, oh, I get to go tap dance or tumble. Or now when I became really involved, about 7 or 8, I still enjoyed it. But my parents were very strict, and they said, okay, you have lessons at 4, 5, and 6 on Mondays, and you will go. And there was nothing, there was no arguing about it. So, but I enjoyed it too. So that was the big thing. They made it fun. I had great coaches, and but I got a little burnout a couple times. I remember when I was maybe in the 7th grade, I just wanted a break from it. And my parents were like, okay, we'll go tell your coaches. And I was like, no, you do it. You do it. I can't, because I love them so much. And so, and they were like, hey, listen, we understand. Let's just back, you know, let's stop taking 12 classes or lessons a week. Let's go to 6. And that helped too. So my parents listened to me. But they really were, you know, great encouragers and cheerleaders for me. And then that morphed into dance and gymnastics. And so, but I enjoyed it. So, yeah. What about you?
Well, mine, let's see, I'm trying to think. Well, I kind of came from all of my friends everybody played sports. So it really wasn't a situation where, and I think you and I kind of, we grew up about the same time. It wasn't something where, we were just sitting around playing video games or had cell phones to play on. We just didn't have that. So, having to walk 5 miles uphill in the snow each way to school, you know, we're those old people now, right? To tell what it was like when we were kids. But I refuse to say that.
I'm still young. I'm still young and vibrant. So you can be old, even though we're the same age, basically.
Well, I'll take the role of the old person here, but I will say, I just had friends. Everybody worked out and played baseball or played football. Everybody was playing sports, and so I took tennis lessons. I was in baseball, and so for me, it was really the only way it was the only thing I knew, and it was really the only thing my friends knew that you went out and were active. And then, you know, this whole next generation that kind of came along is really, with the way the technology exploded, it's really no coincidence that we've seen more of the sedentary lifestyle, because let's face it, a lot of the technology and a lot of the video games, they're cool. And if you were a kid, you know, this is cool stuff. And the problem with a lot of it is it leads to a lot of inactivity. And because we didn't have it, it was, you know, when I would get home from school, even if I didn't have anything going on, my parents, you know, would say, there'd be a note saying, hey, make sure you take our dog was Coco at the time. Make sure you take Coco for a walk. So at the very least, I had to take the dog for a mile. And there was always something going on that led me to being outside. And you know, I grew up in Southern California, so there was really no need to worry about weather. And you want it to be outside. But we have the same problem here that everybody else in the country has, and that I come across just tons of sedentary kids and families. And I think to myself, my God, it's 85 degrees. It's 80 degrees. Let's just get moving a little bit. But so what she's doing, what Laura's doing is great. What you're doing with families and motivating and couples and all that is great. So good job. That's what we need to be doing more of. And it's not, sometimes we can educate and educate and educate, but there are times when you have to say, okay, look, you got to go take a walk.
Yeah.
You got to just move a little bit. We got to find the motivation to go do that.
And so, I just have so much respect for, you know, people. I like kids. I do, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't have that parent gene. I'm not a mom. But for someone who can dedicate, like, all this time with young kids and teenagers and families, that just takes a special person. So, you know, good for her.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's doing great work. Are you ready for your segment now? Because it is Women's Health Month, and
yes.
There are questions here that are geared towards you being a woman. So we're wrapping up Women's Health Month. What are we doing for June? Is June Men's Health Month, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Next week we're going to talk about hydration, but
okay.
we're also going to we're going to tackle men's health and
okay.
I mean, yay for men! I love men. Hey.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we should do a little switcheroo in June, and I think it should be Ask Mark. So,
we can do that. And if anybody wants to volunteer to come in and watch me get my prostate examined, that's we won't be putting that on the internet, but we will probably we can touch on some of those issues, no pun intended, and. Yeah, no, men's health would be good. That'd be a good thing to kind of chop up. So, all right, let's do the Ask Beth segment. And obviously, this first question is right up your alley. This is for women. Okay, so you ready? You good?
I am.
Okay, good. It's that time of the month is the worst for me, and I've tried everything to help my PMS. Do you have anything to recommend to use naturally?
PMS. You know, Mark, I think it's safe to say that I don't think too many women will disagree that PMS can be horrible. I mean, it's the 5 to 7 days before your period. Most women experience at least one unpleasant symptom that PMS can cause, from the stereotypical cramps and moodiness to insomnia, bloating, fatigue, and nausea. You know, a few years ago, I had a client that was diagnosed with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and I had never heard of that before. I was like, okay.
I've never heard of that. Wow.
I know, but it's a condition. It's a serious condition that can cause persistent depression, increase your anger and irritability, and can cause severe headaches and pains. But I actually think, well, we all know, well, maybe you don't, but we all have progesterone in our body, men and women, and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And then about 5 to 7 days before your cycle, it crashes. So your body's kind of like, whoa. So I talk about hormones a lot in my practice, and I tend to blame out-of-control hormones and everything in life. But I guess off the top of my head, if you want to talk about naturally, make sure you're eating healthy and cutting out alcohol, caffeine, and salt. And that's because alcohol can exacerbate feelings of depression. Reducing caffeine can minimize breast tenderness and irritability, and then cutting out salt can reduce the bloating that comes along with it. And of course, I have to say exercise. Mark and I are exercise people, but you may not want to. You may not want to if you're irritable and you're cranky, but get your workout anyway. And that endorphin rush will help alleviate cramps and raise your levels of serotonin, which can be a mood-lifting neurotransmitter in your body. So make sure you get your rest. And we all know that quality sleep will reduce less stress in your life. It's going to put you in a better hormonal position to handle all the, you know, physiological imbalances that PMS can bring in our lives. And I guess the last tip, I have to say this because I'm so anti-sugar right now, but, you know, I want to encourage you to minimize simple sugars in your diet. I mean, ideally, you'll be doing this all of the time, but it's especially important before your period. I mean, simple sugars can increase inflammation, can make your cramps feel worse. So if you're eating regular meals and snacks, but, you know, high in fiber and protein, you're going to keep your blood sugar stable, and which is a lot better for those raw nerves that PMS can bring on. So that's kind of my all-natural tips for that question.
I was going to follow up, and this might sound like a dumb question coming from a man, but you know you deal with women a lot. Are there women that don't have PMS, or and they kind of breeze through? Do you deal with women that don't have any symptoms of it, or is this just something that is pretty natural for most women to experience? I mean, I know you gave some great tips there, but in your personal experience, do you find it, are there women that it's just the cycle's not a problem every month, and they just kind of get through it with no problem?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you have 100 women, I'm going to say about 80%. As a, you know, female population experience some sort of PMS. I mean, me, I just get bloated. I get bloated and maybe a little crampy. It's not too bad. But so you're going to have about 70 to 80% of the population that has some sort of, you know, issue with PMS. And then the other one just kind of breeze through it, and it's not an issue at all. And then some months may be fine. Some months may be terrible, so it's really depending. I mean, I could get into this whole, like, on one, which I'm not going to. It should be a science lesson, a biology lesson. But,
sure.
But yeah, there's absolutely women that don't have that many issues with it. But on the flip side, more so than not, do have something. So.
Okay, well, as soon as you get that moodiness part, you're out. I've never known you to be moody, so.
But it's not bad for me. It's really not bad for me. I'm getting really personal here, but a little bloating, you know, I might gain like 3 to 5 pounds of water bloat, and I may get a little crampy and a little moody, but nothing crazy. No, I've never. I'm lucky in that aspect of my cycles. Always have been.
Oh, good. Okay. Next question. I've been hearing a lot about how vitamin D is good for women lately. What does it do for us, and why is it important?
You know, vitamin D has been getting a lot of publicity lately, but and it's good for women as well as men. I think the reason you might be thinking that it's maybe women-centric is because if you don't get enough of it, it can weaken your bones, and we as women have to look at that more closely than men do. But vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin that's different from any other vitamins because our bodies can make most of what we need within 15 minutes of exposure to sunlight. But when you think about it, I mean, look at the, you know, people that are prone to vitamin D deficiency live in the northern regions with little or no sunlight, people with darker skin, people on low-fat diets, or people who are taking steroids or weight loss medications. But the reason vitamin D is so important is because it's more than just a vitamin. It acts as a pro-hormone, there's that word again, and affects hormone balance and immune regulation of our bodies. And most foods, unless they're fortified, really don't have enough vitamin D. I mean, there are some healthy choices, but you're only going to get small amounts of vitamin D, which are salmon, tuna, let's see, mushrooms, eggs, whole milk. They do have vitamin D, so that's great, but you also need to make sure that you're getting the sun, which is the best way to get vitamin D. But if it's raining or it's the winter months and you're not getting it, you might want to make sure that you're taking a vitamin D supplement. And, I mean, I take one. I take one every morning. So, and, you know, and from my research, which is minimal in this aspect, so you need to do your own research. You need to talk to your doctor. But some of the vitamin D deficiency symptoms are a weakened immune system, depression. There we talk about mental health again, weak bones, And because vitamin D helps with cell replication, it can really play a big role in autoimmune conditions. So vitamin D is very important, and absolutely, it's been getting a lot of recognition lately. You know,
no,
I was at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's been a while ago, but I don't like orange juice. I don't like that citrus, you know, kind of. But I noticed that they're adding vitamin D to orange juice now. So I noticed that.
Well, they got to do something to help, because so, there's so much sugar in orange juice. So you, I don't know, maybe getting some vitamin D. And, I mean, I gave up drinking. And I'm kind of like you, the orange juice. I never loved it, but I would occasionally drink it. But there's just so much sugar in it that I gave up drinking all of those kinds of juices. So that's just me. That's just me. Some people love, and orange juice is good. I mean, it tastes good. All right. So how about this last one? And I've had this, so I'll take any advice I can. I just started running for my exercise, and I've developed killer shin splints. Any advice? And boy, those can be painful.
Yeah,
so,
I've never had shin splints, and I think that's
my background. They're horrible. Yeah, they
are. Are they?
Yeah.
You know, and I love running. I mean, running is one of the best full-body aerobic exercises known to mankind. It's great for burning calories. It's great for working multiple muscle groups. And, I mean, plus outside of, you know, buying a pair of quality shoes, it doesn't cost that much. But unfortunately, running isn't for everybody. You might not have the right body type to run. And if you don't, or if you're new, or you know, really don't prepare yourself, it can really lead to common running injuries such as shin splints and stress fractures, heel spurs, and even lower back or hip flexor problems, which I know you have from time to time,
mm-hmm.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you get that
from running?
It's funny. I have more of a hamstring kind of hip thing that I started developing a few years ago when I was doing martial arts, and so I kind of gave it up, and now I do a lot of stretching, and I've talked about this before, I do a lot of stuff on the foam roller to try to massage it out and all that, but I have a lot of sympathy for people, because especially when they have lower leg injuries, because it's frustrating if you have things like shin splints, a tight quad, a tight hamstring, a tight hip flexor. Those things are things that can affect you all day long. Just with anything you do, they can wake you up in the middle of the night. Roll over wrong. And I mean, you know how it is if you've had an injury. And so those injuries, so when someone says, oh, I have shin splints, and you say, oh, well, don't stop running, still might hurt when they walk a long distance. It might hurt when they're just putting on their shoes, getting up off the sofa. Those kinds of things are frustrating, especially for people that, you know, like you or me, that really love to get outside and exercise. You have to try to avoid that and stretch, and that's my thing. But yeah, once you have that hip flex or something like that, it's frustrating.
Wait, I guess my advice to this listener is, if you're a new runner, or if you've been running for a while, or you want to, you know, run from the get-go to avoid injury, you know, make sure you warm up. Warming up mm-hmm. is so important. It's so important to almost any type of exercise. And, I mean, I'm the first to admit, back in my, 20s, I would just go out and run. I wouldn't warm up, and I can't believe, but the older you get, and if you're new at an exercise, but you need to warm up. And another thing I tell my clients that want to start running, or they're like, I want to do this 5K, or I want to do a 10-miler, but, you know, I tell my clients to set goals and run consistently. Now, I'm not saying run every single day. In fact, I encourage people to cross-train. So when I say consistently run, I mean, you know, jog 2 to 4 times a week. And, you know, I also tell people, you know, try burst training at least once a week. Now, burst training is kind of the same thing as HIIT or interval training. Maybe you can keep your pace at a 10 or 11 minute mile and then do a 30-second burst of an 8-minute mile and do that off and on for 30 minutes. And, you know, make sure you're getting the right pre- and post-fuel meals before your workout and after your workout. And, I mean, meaning having balanced meals like 40% carbs, healthy carbs, 30% protein and 30% fat. And that's a great combo to make your workouts easier to get through and make your body heal faster and work with you, not against you. And I guess the last thing is your shoes. I mean, make sure you have the right shoes to run in. And you can go into any specialty running store and ask for gait analysis, and they can point you in the right direction and to what type of shoe would work best for you. And I did that about 15, 16 years ago, and I was told all about my gait and my foot type. So my go-to shoe is ASICS Nimbus. They are the best for me, and I know it's been years, 15, 16 years, and probably, let's say, 20 shoes later, and I've never found a shoe better for me than the ASICS Nimbus model. And you know, it's so funny. Once a runner or a cyclist, my favorite cycling shoe is CD, you know, once they find a shoe or equipment that they like, they are so loyal to that brand. And one of my best friends wears by New Balance, and I actually tried a pair, and they were good. They're great shoes, but I went back to my standby ASICS. And so I bet you, being a walker, exerciser, I bet you have a brand of shoes that you will only buy or your favorite.
I have a couple different pairs. I have I do actually have a pair of New Balance, since you just bashed them.
I didn't bash them. I said they were good. They were pretty.
I'm just kidding. I've for walking, I've used ASICS. I have a pair of Nike shoes. What else do I have? New Balance, ASICS. I kind of float around. For me, I have flat feet. I have flat feet, so I can never go in the army too either. So that's my excuse. So I can't go fight. But yeah, it just, for me, it depends on the shoe type. But yeah, I've had ASICS and they're great. And you're right, shoes are so important. God, that's such a key to staying on track with your exercise, because if your shoes are uncomfortable, it's a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. So,
you know, and I know people that I work with, because when I go to work, I wear heels. I love heels. I wear heels every single day. And so, but like lounging around home or running around on weekends, I am always in my ASICS. And once my ASICS get about 300, 400 miles on them, they go to my throwdown shoes, like just to run to Target or something like that. But I have, walk into my closet, I have like, and I am not kidding, I have my side with just my workout shoes. I probably have 20 pair of ASICS, and then the other side, all of like my work shoes. So I'm kind of a shoe person.
I know. Well, that's most women like shoes, I think. I don't want to stereotype, but it's pretty tough to find a woman that doesn't like shoes, right? I mean, you guys are shoe people. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys.
I get it. Do I stereotype there? You guys are shoe people. Right. Well, I think it's safe to say women like shoes more than most men.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about this before we go. I want to do a challenge of the week. So if people want to go and go on Facebook and like us, I want to say, kind of piggybacking on what we talked about and what Laura talked about, how about the challenge for this week is exercise as a family. So if you have a family, try to find some time, maybe once or twice this week, to get out as a family, to go for a walk, to go run around the park, go throw a ball around with the kids, just something to get moving for 30 to 45 minutes or an hour or something like that. So so people don't have to feel like they just have to go do it on their own. So if you're the mom out there and you just want to take the kids out, can't hurt. That's my challenge of the week.
That's a great challenge. I think getting kids out there, I mean, they are going to be ruling the world here. You know, and so I think that's great. Get them happy and healthy and out there moving. That's a great challenge of the week.
All right, Beth, anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, before we let the listeners go for the week?
No, well, I guess the only thing is, you know, I guess my challenge or my tip of the week, let me put it, we already have a challenge out there. But, you know, if this, I just piggybacking on this whole running, this person being sore, and, you know, if you're continually sore or sustain injuries all the time, whether it be biking, running, or even swimming, I mean, maybe that sport just isn't for you, and that's fine. You can find other exercises that might be better suited for you, your lifestyle, and your body type, but just don't give up. So that's my tip of the week.
That's good. That's a good tip. We are out of time. So thanks for everybody that helped put this show on. And Beth, have a good week. We will kick off maybe Men's Health Month next week, and we'll go from there. So Beth, thanks for coming on, of course, co-hosting and the great job that you do. Thanks everybody for listening. And we will be back here next week. Have a great Memorial Day holiday, everybody. We'll see you next week.